You're tuned into Eric's Movie Club. And now, here's Eric.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Eric's Movie Club. We all use streaming services, but there is one thing that always happens. We take way too long to choose something to watch. That's where I come in on this show. Every episode, I recommend a movie that I think you should check out on one of the big streaming services. Hopefully you will watch it, and hopefully you will like it. For the month of October, I've decided I would recommend movies that fall into the thriller and horror categories, and today's movie is a more modern selection, The Babadook. Why you should watch it, where you can watch it, that's all coming up later. Also, are low-budget horror movies more effective? We'll get into that later, too.
Movie news.
On last week's episode, I talked about how the house from Silence of the Lambs that was used by serial killer Buffalo Bill is actually on the market. It's up for sale. Well, another movie home is on the market. This one is in California's San Fernando Valley, and it's the house from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You remember the pool scene, Phoebe Cates getting out of the pool and Brad watching her and fantasizing and, let's say, enjoying his own company in the bathroom. Yeah, that home is actually up for sale. That's pretty expensive. It's listed for $740,000. And yes, it has the pool that is so pivotal to Brad's fantasy. I would recommend scrubbing the bathroom if you do buy it. Also, this being a podcast about streaming services, probably worth mentioning this. You know, one of the judgiest things about Netflix is that little message that pops up when you're binge-watching a show that says, "Are you still watching?" Yes, Netflix, I am still watching, and yes, I'm going to go get another beer. Stop judging me. Well, apparently, because some people find this a little bit judgy, they're going to start testing out new messages that may pop up, and they will be, "Ask again later," "Play without asking again," and "I'm done." Now, there is a purpose for the "Are you still watching?" feature, and that is if you fall asleep while watching Netflix, it doesn't just keep playing on through the night, which would not be a great thing. Also, it helps you keep your place. If you fall asleep during a certain episode, it'll stop where you've fallen asleep, so you know that you didn't miss much, which is a nice handy feature. But some people feel a little judged by it, so I'm assuming that if you select the "Play without asking again" option, it will not ask you again, and it will just eliminate that feature for good. Or at least that's what it sounds like. Kind of interesting. No word on when they're actually going to start testing this and if it will go into full-time use, but we'll see.
It's time for Eric's movie recommendation.
Today's movie recommendation is for The Babadook. This is an Australian movie released in 2014, written and directed by Jennifer Kent. The movie stars Essie Davis, Noah Weissman, Hayley McElhenney, Daniel Hensall, Barbara West, and Ben Winspear. What is the movie about? A widower and single mother named Amelia has a 6-year-old son named Samuel who is afraid that there might be a monster living in their house. Now, that monster is imaginary. But one night, Amelia reads Samuel a children's book entitled Mr. Babadook. And the titular character of the book is a monster that haunts people who become aware of him. Now, this monster is very real.
This is what he wears on top. He's funny, don't you think? See him in your room at night.
Mom, does it hurt the boy? Mom, does it live under the bed? Mom? Mommy!
So where can you watch this movie? You can watch it on Crave TV here in Canada. And why should you watch it? Well, these days, it's not enough to just scare people in a movie. We've had many years of movies with teenagers at summer camps and babysitters being terrorized by crazy killers. And as entertaining as all those movies are, and as good as a lot of those movies are, we don't make those movies anymore. These days, you really have to have a deeper message in your movie, in addition to the scares. I think horror fans have gotten more sophisticated over the years, and the movies that we see today reflect that. I think a great example of this is Jordan Peele's thriller from a few years back, Get Out, right? Really deep meaning behind that movie, in addition to being a very scary and, you know, effective thriller. And The Babadook falls into this category and is a great example of a modern horror movie. Now, the movie is not just about the scares. It's about dealing with grief. It's about dealing with depression, the struggles of parenting, particularly the struggles of being a single parent. It really gets the message across in an effective way. And I can't say enough good things about how well this movie was written and created. And in fact, let's talk about the writer-director of this movie, Jennifer Kent. It was certainly a passion project for her. It was a low-budget movie. It was made for just $2 million, which is not a lot of money. By the way, part of that budget was actually crowdsourced, so they had to raise part of that budget on their own. This was her directorial debut in feature films, and she absolutely knocked it out of the park. This movie deals with themes that are clearly very important to her, and you can tell because of how well they are treated. And it is very surprising to me that we had never heard from her before, that this was her first feature, because it is masterfully made, I think. From the performances that she pulls out of the actors, to the cinematography, to the sound design, the incredible use of the art department in this movie, it was brilliantly made. And I hope that she gets a chance to make a big Hollywood project at some point. Now, it is possible that she doesn't want to do that, that she just wants to make her own movies, which I couldn't respect more. But I really think she could be one of the best directors in Hollywood if somebody gives her the opportunity to make that leap. And I hope she does eventually do that. I have to talk about the acting in this movie. I think one of Jennifer Kent's strengths, clearly, is pulling great performances from actors. I want to start by talking about the young boy in this movie, Noah Weissman, who plays Samuel. This might be one of the best acting performances I've ever seen from a child in a movie. I know that the production went to great lengths to make sure that he was sheltered from the horror of the movie, because he is very, very young. And so the fact that he was acting purely on a make-believe kind of basis, which I know that's what acting is in the first place, but the fact that he didn't really get to experience the horror that we experience watching the movie, and it was all totally make-believe, and they were asking a young kid to pull this out of himself, absolutely incredible. Very, very well done. The mother, who is played by Essie Davis, the mother Amelia, the main character of the movie, just give Essie Davis all the Oscars. Just give her all the Oscars. She deserves it. The performance is incredible. It is so dynamic. It is so real. Really, truly amazing. And she deserved some credit for that movie. Now, I could go on and on, but I'd be risking giving away too much, you know, with a horror movie. It's kind of nice to go in with a fresh perspective and not really know too much about what's going to go on. So I don't want to say too much more. I do want to say, if you like horror movies and you haven't seen this one, you have to see this one. And if you're the kind of person that only watches horror movies in the lead up to Halloween, this one will probably terrify you. So make sure you check it out. I think you'll like it. And by the way, I think this movie is going to be a cult classic one day. So I'm giving you an opportunity to get in early on this one.
Talking about movies with Eric.
One thing I mentioned earlier is that this movie was made on a relatively small budget, just $2 million. Now, my question for today is, are low-budget horror movies more effective than big-budget horror movies? Or are movies that don't have CGI in them more effective as horror movies? Are movies that use practical effects more effective in the horror genre? And I've made my opinions on CGI pretty clear on previous episodes. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a fan of filmmaking as an art form, and I like to see what people can do just using a camera, some lighting, some sound effects, and an effective art department, as opposed to just adding in things later. There are tasteful uses of it in certain movies. I mentioned the movie Get Out earlier uses some interesting special effects in that movie, but I find that horror movies in particular are more effective when they don't rely on CGI, when they do everything practically. And to make my argument, I want to bring up a few movies that to me really are great examples of this, starting with the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is a movie from 1974, directed by Tobe Hooper. Speaking of low budget, this movie was made for less than $140,000, and even in today's money, when you adjust for inflation, that is way less than even $1 million. So this was a very low-budget movie, and very few movies that have ever been made are more unnerving than the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, And I think the low quality of the movie actually adds something to the horror. The fact that the film is really grainy, it doesn't look like it's very high quality. The handheld nature, they do a lot of handheld camera shots that really put you in the room and put you in the situation, and my God, it's absolutely creepy and uneasy feeling throughout the entire movie, and I really, really like that one and think it's very effective. So that is certainly a great example of that. Another one I want to mention is an even older movie. It's from 1960. It's a French movie called Les Yeux Sans Visage, or Eyes Without a Face. It was directed by a guy named Georges Franju. And it feels weird describing a horror movie as being elegant, but that description really fits this movie. It's a beautiful movie, very tastefully made. It's also pretty creepy. If you haven't heard of this one, here's what it's about. It's about a plastic surgeon who has a daughter whose face is disfigured. So he goes out and kills women and takes their faces off to try to get a new face for his daughter. Now, after I described the movie as being elegant, you probably did not expect that plot. And by the way, it's gorier than you think a movie from 1960 would be. Actually, when I saw it for the first time, I thought, are they actually going to show somebody getting their face taken off? And yeah, they do. This is long before special effects as well. So I would suggest you check that one out. And for my last one here, I want to go even further back in time. In fact, 100 years in the past. The movie The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, released in 1920. German movie from the golden era of German expressionist cinema. It was directed by a guy named Robert Wien. It's 100 years old. Of course, that makes it a silent movie because talking didn't come into movies until 1927, I believe. And I know a lot of people nowadays probably scoff at the idea of watching silent movies. We've come a long way, so I totally get that. However, there is one thing I like about silent movies, and that is because there's no dialogue, there's no people talking in the movie, you have to be creative in how you show your story. Of course, they do sometimes put text up on the screen, but you can't just have all text. That's a book, you know, and this is a movie. So they have to come up with creative ways of showing this story, and I love that about silent movies. Now, this is often described as one of the original horror movies, and maybe even the first true horror movie. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's an easy watch in 2020 and that it's just like modern movies or whatever, but I still think it is very effective as a horror movie. They managed to create a very creepy atmosphere using surreal kind of art design and effective makeup as well. They also effectively used dramatic irony, which is something that horror movies throughout history have relied on. In other words, we know something as an audience that a character in the movie doesn't know, right? How many times you've been sitting there watching a movie and it's like, he's right behind you, he's right behind you, and right? And we just want to yell at the screen and because this character doesn't realize that something else is happening, right? This is a very early example of that as well. Now, this movie is on YouTube and it's just over an hour long, so it's not a very long movie. I would recommend you check it out. Look for a version on YouTube that has English text, unless you speak German. But I would recommend that you check it out. Now, those are three movies for me that stand out in the horror genre for their effectiveness, their creepiness, and their ability to capture those things without using CGI and while having relatively small budgets at the time. So do you agree with me? Do you think that horror movies with smaller budgets that don't use CGI are more effective and are scarier than movies that do? And do you have a good example of a movie that uses a lot of CGI that is still very scary? I'd love to hear from you. Please join in on the conversation. And if you do end up watching The Babadook, please let me know what you thought. If there is a specific genre of movie you'd like to see me talk about on here, please let me know. If you have any movie-related questions or any movie debates that you'd like my take on, just reach out. You can do that by going to the Eric's Movie Club Facebook page. I'll talk to you again next week.
This has been Eric's Movie Club, a Giant TV production.